So can I add my welcome to this morning? It's good to see so many here. It's good to be celebrating baptism, to be particularly our candidate friends on the front row. And Mike and myself are going to lead the service. And, well, not just Mike and myself, others have been involved as well. So we're going to do an unusual start, but it's many churches do this. We're going to stand. Don't stand yet. I'm going to say Christ is risen. You're going to say hallelujah. I'm going to say the Lord is risen. And you're going to say he's risen indeed. He's risen indeed. And as soon as we've done that, we're going to sing See What a Morning. Okay. So please stand. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you this morning for the good news of the gospel, for the good news that Jesus has indeed risen from the dead, that sin and death are a past experience, and we can look forward to the future, a good future, in the presence of Almighty God. We thank you that the empty tomb and the empty cross bring hope and life. We praise you, Lord, that we can indeed come this morning and confess our sins, and we can be cleansed. We can be washed. We can begin again. We can have a new future. And we thank you for our candidates this morning who come, for June, for Carl, for David. They come and they share amongst us as they witness to the grace of God in Jesus Christ that they have seen and experienced. And we thank you, Lord, that you have brought them to this point. And we thank you, Lord, that all of us can join with them and we can relive our baptism, or perhaps this morning commit ourselves to being baptized in the future, that we might also continue to honor you by the way we live and not just by the things that we say. So bless us, Lord. Move amongst us. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord, that he might clear our minds and speak to our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. Add your blessing to this service. Accept our praise, because we give our lives once again into your hands. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, it's forced to me to introduce the service, and Mike's going to carry on, and various people are going to take place. It's good to see so many here, and it really is good to see our three friends who are going to witness in the waters of baptism. I'm told you've got to watch the J-cloth, otherwise the water will vanish. So whoever's last in there, it doesn't matter, but don't stand on the J-cloth, okay? But we go to a bed and breakfast in Felixstowe on occasions, and we walk the coastal path, and then we go to the bed and breakfast. And when you get there, you open the front door, and the house is completely carpeted in white carpet. Now, you look at your feet, and you look at the carpet, and you think, no. Now, she's a sensible lady, because she provides white slippers. She doesn't let you in the house with your shoes on, and she provides white slippers. Now, sometimes you look at your feet, and you think, they're not too bad. I could get away with it. But the answer is you can't. Because even on a slight, well, whatever's happening out there, it comes inside and it messes the carpet. And this morning we have that same problem. We come to God who is perfectly pure and white. And we come, and even the best of us is dirty. As Charles Wesley said, John Newton said in that great hymn, cold my warmest thought. How God can indeed come and forgive us. There's nothing better than a good meal when you're hungry. I'm sure you'll agree with me. Even things you don't like too much are nice when you're really hungry. And there's nothing worse than a big meal when you're full up. Can you remember the Vicar of Dibley when she went to three Christmas dinners that time? Do you remember how ill she felt? What a dreadful Christmas day she had as she just struggled through three Christmas dinners. And she couldn't fit them all in. And you know, to a certain extent, we're in that situation this morning. In order to have Jesus in our lives, we've got to be hungry. In the Old Testament, when the Jews were walking in the desert, they ran out of food and they cried to the Lord, and they were desperate to be given food and water. And he provided water out of a rock and manna from heaven. And these things came down and gave them the help that they needed. But they had to ask, they had to want, they had to call on God. And this morning we're going to do exactly that. We have three hungry new Christian friends, and they want Jesus in their lives, as all of us do. But we need to have that hunger, that lack. We need to ask and want, because that is the world in which we come to live in God's church. Jesus said, the work of God is to believe the one who he has sent. That's what we're called to do, to believe, not to do anything particularly fantastic. We haven't got to go and earn our salvation. He also declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes on me will never be thirsty. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no life. And after we've been baptized this morning, or three of our friends are going to be baptized, we're going to eat the bread and drink the cup. We're going to take and participate in the body of Christ. We're going to, in faith, acknowledge that Jesus' body is sufficient and his blood is satisfactory to God to cancel our sins. We're going to eat and we're going to drink and we're going to remember all that God has done for us. It's an exciting thing that we do. It's a memory thing that we do. It's celebrating all that God is about. And it's sometimes seen as silly, and sometimes seen as irrelevant, and sometimes we skip communion. We tack it on the end of our services. And we sometimes, I remember at Fuller years ago, people used to go home before the communion even started, because, you know, getting a bit late and dinner was coming on. But we come this morning to really receive and accept Jesus Christ. An old bishop friend of mine at St. Botolph's Church said recently, if Jesus did 98.5% of the work to get me to heaven, I still wouldn't get there. I need the 100%. We can't even be trusted to do 1 or 1.5% of the work it requires us to get to heaven. We need to receive and be accepting this morning. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing extra we can do. We can only accept. And as our friends go into the water, they will perhaps feel the weight of perhaps sin, but also the helplessness of being baptized backwards and then being brought up. Mike's been doing some weight training so he can do this. So they can be brought up and brought back, as it were, to life again. We're going to join with the Christian Church over the years in many, for the first 300 or 400 years, they only baptised on Easter Sunday. And we're going to join with the Christians over the years who have indeed done this. And as they leave the water, as they rise up from the water, we're going to pray that God's Spirit enters their lives, covers them, and protects them for the future. This is good news. This is exciting. And we're here to celebrate all that God has done. In a sense, God provides an umbrella for judgment, from his judgment. So God judges the world, but he gives to us an umbrella. And to a certain extent this morning, we're all invited to put that umbrella up and protect ourselves from all God's judgment as we receive the refuge that often Jesus is called. He is the umbrella that gives us the protection that we need. So we come, and we come to celebrate, and we come to seek God's blessing. You know, no Easter egg is any good if you just leave it on the shelf and admire it all year. I don't know how many of you can do that. I bet some of you have eaten it already, have you? Marion hasn't. But, you know, we don't leave Easter eggs on the shelf. We eat them, and by the end of the week, most of them will have gone. We don't leave the good news of the gospel in the Bible. We take it, and we eat it, and we are nourished by it, and we enjoy it, and we allow God to bless us. So let's enjoy God's blessings this morning. Now, this morning, apart from the first one, I've been chosen by our candidates, and we're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, which Carl has chosen as the hymn that he wants to remember his baptism by today. So thank you. We stand to sing.
Such a presence to cheer. and to die. Thanks for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all might and thousand besides. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Oh, good morning to you all. And it's like the two Ronnies, Peter and Mike. Lovely to see so many of you as well. It's a happy occasion, and we're going to have a very happy time together in the service and afterwards. I'm going to ask Philip Copperweep, please, if he'll now read the lesson to us. A familiar one for Easter, John 20, 11 to 18. Thank you. Bless you.
Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene.
Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned round and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," this means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and related to them what he had told her.
Philip, thank you. That is a wonderful, wonderful passage. Quite familiar. We're not going to look at it now, but perhaps we can recognise that with the resurrection of Jesus after being crucified 3 days later. He had won the victory, and that's the thing we've got to remember. Now, this book's dated 1991, so it's a few years old. But I'm going to just give an introduction, a slight one, to the baptism this morning. Well, we have June, we have Carl, and we have David, and their family and friends, and the church family here at Carey. And they're here because they have found a living Lord. They've met him in a personal way and know that Jesus is the Son of God who loves them, that he gave himself to die for them on a cross. Each knows that Jesus, the Son of God, was not defeated by death, but was raised to life and calls us to accept his forgiveness and hope and to share in his resurrection life. In baptism, they express this belief, consecrating themselves in a special way to commitment and to service. They will enter the water in obedience, believing that baptism is commanded by Christ himself. And as they go under the water and rise from it, they give witness to their desire to die to self and rise with Christ to new life. They come surrounded by the love and prayer of this church family and upheld by the great continuous prayer that unites us with the universal church of Christ in heaven and on earth. They come as much loved children of a Father who welcomes them here. Jesus is their brother, and they are bound to him by his Holy Spirit. God is glad, and we are glad, that they have come. This is a very special moment. Let's just pray for them before they take this decision to go into the baptistry and come out again saved. Lord, we thank you then for June and for Carl and for David and all their friends, family and the church family here. And just pray, Lord, as they enter this pool today, they will know your blessing and your peace and joy and the Holy Spirit to move upon them and bring his protection and his love. And may they know that always in their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think, Carl, you're going to say something. You're happy to do that? Come on, my friend, up here. Yes, no problem. They're all friends here, don't worry. Yeah. I think they're all friends. Bless you. Excuse me. No. Do you need this microphone? Are you all right with that one?
Good morning, everyone. My name's Carl. I've been a Christian now for about 20 months. That's all. Never too late.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah,
and right. I've been coming to this church regularly for about, I don't know, 8 or 9 months, I guess. I can't remember. I'm just going to say what brought me to God. And this might get a bit emotional. I apologise for that. When I was young, I learned about the stories in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New, but it didn't resonate with me. It was like learning trigonometry or learning about the rain falling out of Mongolia. And when I got to my mid-teens, I decided that I didn't need religion, I didn't need God. I could do my own thing. I was a bloke, I could do anything. And off I went my merry way, and just quickly found out I couldn't. I couldn't deal with life, I couldn't deal with people, I couldn't make my way in the world. Life became a struggle. I suffered for years from mental health issues, anxiety, depression, paranoia, very, very, very low self-esteem. It went on and on. Got to the point where eventually I thought, I can't do this anymore. And that's when I decided that my life had to end. But obviously the plans I had to make to achieve that didn't happen, otherwise I wouldn't be standing here in front of you today. So then, what happened next? I heard God speak to me. I heard the words in my head. He said, "You don't need to worry, everything will be fine. All you need to do is believe." And I knew that it wasn't any mortal voice talking to me. So then from that moment I had to bend my knee, humble myself before God and ask for forgiveness for my arrogance and pride. And I asked Jesus to come into my life and walk with me. And ever since then, my life has changed so much. I can look back now of having nearly 50 years as being a non-believer to what I believe now I believe, and I can tell you the difference. It's absolutely life-changing. The actual power of Jesus and God in my life, and now I can relate to people some people make interacting with other people look so easy. For me, it was never easy. But now I'm in with this church family, I feel safe, secure. I know no one can hurt me. I've got a little book here called God's Little Book of Encouragement that Laura gave me. And in the front it says, from, I'll put my glasses on. Psalm 56, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Now get ready.
Well, we're going to let the baptism now proceed. And we're going to get wet. Actually, Paul's actually sinking a little bit, so we need to get in a little bit quicker. And Peter's going to go in first with myself. He's going to help me with my leg. Now, I'm not going to take that into the pool, are we?
No.
No, that's not. I'll get electrocuted. Yeah.
But you will see it on the screen, I believe. Yeah. You will see it on the screen.
Oh, yes.
Come on down.
I'm going to put... What am I going to speak into?
There's a microphone.
Just talk.
Do you want to come forward?
So
June, you have confessed your faith, you have admitted to the church of your need of Jesus Christ, and we have seen your faithfulness to this church over the past few months, and you are able now to be baptised. So we baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. just pray for David. Father God, we thank you for David, for his life, for his many years in this church, and his commitment to you today. Lord, fill him with your Holy Spirit, and we pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus, who is his Lord and his Savior.
Don't worry, definitely won't be that long. Everybody's getting changed, we're going to sing a hymn now together, and then I'm going to pray again for Carl and June and David and some other prayers as well. So we're going to sing together now, if you'd like to stand and sing, Oh Happy Day, Oh Happy Day. Going to spend a few moments now just praying for our three candidates today, and also to pray for us as a church family as well, and to pray that God might help us to support them as they start off on their Christian life. I'm going to read a few verses from John's Gospel in chapter 17, and this is where Jesus is talking to his disciples on the night before he was crucified, and he's praying for his disciples, and he's praying as well for us as all believers. He says, "I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Let's pray. Lord, we pray this morning. We thank you that you have persuaded Lord June and Carl and David to pass through the waters of baptism today, to publicly declare their faith and their trust in you. And Father, we pray as they start out upon their Christian journey that you will indeed, as Christ prayed for his disciples, that you might protect them, to keep them, Lord, from temptation, from any opposition, Lord, that they might have. Lord, because we know that in the first few months, Lord, of being a Christian, it's so easy, Lord, to get thrown off course. And we just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit might be there alongside them, that you might increase their faith, that they may indeed, Lord, be one with you. And then Jesus goes on to pray for all believers. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they might be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Lord, we thank you that you have placed us in your family, the church, of which you are the head. And Lord, it's your desire that we come before you, Lord, that we unite together. We show our love for one another. And we thank you, Father, that we're able to gather together on this Easter morning. And we pray, Lord, that you might enable our lives to demonstrate the risen power of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for him, for all that he has done for us upon the cross. We pray, Lord, that as the church family, Lord, we might be there to support Carl and Jude and David, Lord, and we might be an encouragement to them, to be there, Lord, for them, to help them, to answer questions, Father, and just, Father, to be there to uphold them, Lord, when they need it most. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you created, you sent your Holy Spirit to come upon the church. And we just pray, Lord, for not only this church, but for all of the other churches, Father, for which we have associated with. And particularly, Lord, for Rockingham Road and Fuller, Lord, whom we try and work together, Lord, with at this time. Lord, just bless each one of us, that we, Lord, might be able to be a witness to others in the world, to show others, Father, our faith and our belief. Lord, we know that we live in a world where many people are hostile and opposed, Lord, to the gospel. So we do pray, Father, for your protection. We pray, Lord, that you might give us courage, that we might be witnesses to you and to show, Lord, our love for one another to those around us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, they're still not back yet. So we're going to, don't worry, we've got it all organised. We've got another song now we're going to sing, Oh to See the Dawn.
Fine.
So keep going, we're going to sing Oh to See the Dawn. Chosen 10,000 reasons, so when the musicians have got their breath back. It's a bit of a bowser this morning, isn't it? We'll stand and sing 10,000 reasons. You're back now, David, so we're allowed to sing to you. Okay.
Please be seated. I think I'm dry. Takes some time to dry with me, see all my hairs, but don't look at them now. Apart from here, yeah. Well, I want to just actually read a text to you, a familiar text, from John's Gospel and chapter 3 and verse 16. A familiar one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You've heard that one before, most of you? I think you might have done. Well, the very first words of the Bible, just a minute, please. The very first words of the Bible state that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Again, no doubt familiar words to most of us. It was also quoted by the American astronauts Bill Sanders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman as they orbited the moon for the first time on Christmas Eve 1968. Anybody remember that? Black and white television? 10 minutes to warm up? No, more or less. I was really thrilling to hear that at the time. Now, in contrast, the very first astronaut to go into space was the Russian Yuri Gagarin, in 1961, who reportedly was quoted by the atheistic Russian authorities as saying, "I looked and I looked, but I didn't see and I didn't find God." What a contrast. However, some years later, before his fatal accident, he apparently stated that he went into space and he found God and he became a strong Christian man of faith. How that can be reversed. Now, if we continue to read through the first two chapters of the Bible, we find that God created a wonderful world, and the height of creation was the creating of Adam and Eve in God's own image. All was well. However, by the third chapter in the Bible, we find that Adam and Eve, being deceived by the devil, disobeyed God and they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And please note, it wasn't an apple tree. And the result was that sin entered the world, introducing power, greed, war, murder, sickness, death, and all sorts and kinds of evil things. Now, because of their disobedience, although God didn't destroy them, he expelled them from the Garden of Eden. But we must remember this, dear friends, God still loved them. That's something to think about. The rest of the Bible tells us how a holy God formed a plan to rescue fallen humanity. He sent prophets and others to call for people to repent of their sin, their wrongdoing, and to turn back to him. However, because of the God-given free will, like the free will that we still enjoy, God didn't force them, and for that matter, he still doesn't and never forces us either. The result was that sin, and you don't need for me to tell you that, still contaminates this world. We'd all agree with that, I'm sure. So God's final plan of rescue was to send his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And this is where the Bible reading that I read a few moments ago comes into the fore. The words, "God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And the words, "sent his son," are so important. In fact, as we know from today, that Jesus, God incarnate, was crucified, where he took upon himself the sins of the world for you and for me. But that wasn't the end of Jesus. For 3 days later, he rose from the grave and he eventually ascended into heaven. Friends, he had won the victory. Amen? Right. That's all about Easter Sunday. Now, God will not force us to believe in him, but we do have a choice. To believe and to find God and ask him into our lives for now and for eternity, or the choice to reject him. June, Carl and David have accepted the call to surrender their lives to Jesus, and as you have seen, they have been baptized. Now, one thing please to remember, very importantly, the three, June, Carl, David, will not be perfect. I'm sorry to say that. Will not be perfect. They will still be June and Carl and David. And some of you will be pleased to hear that. And they will still live in a broken world which we inhabit today. But one major difference, and you probably heard it in the prayers that were given over to them when they had come back up from the water, they will now have the Holy Spirit of God to help them and to guide them. They will be part of the worldwide Christian church community of over 2.2 billion believers around the world, and apparently that number is growing. So, having witnessed the faith of those who were baptized, where do each one of us then stand this morning? Do you believe in God, or do you not believe in God? Or are you unsure? And again, in our free will, we all have a choice. Now let me ask, have you been moved by this morning's service, which I hasten to add is not a theatrical performance, but an act of worship to God? Or how do you answer questions like, what is the purpose of life? Or what is the meaning of life? Or what stops you from following Jesus? A proper, actually, question to ask on a day even like this. And you see, the gospel, the good news, is not only that God loves us, but he offers forgiveness when we say sorry to our wrongdoings, and salvation for this life and for eternity. And one final point here, really. Let me make it quite clear. Mainstream Christianity is not and never was a cult. It is strictly not even a religion. In any case, the word religion, as we mostly know, is a very negative word today. But with Jesus, we are going to be in a relationship with him, the Son of God. We make that confession as these dear three people have done, and no doubt others here have done in the past. It begins when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, and the good news is it lasts through life. But not only this life, it lasts into eternity. And that's a wonderful blessing to think about. I've often thought about that eternity. When you've been studying theology like Peter and myself, I'm pretty sure that we have struggled a bit with that, because we've only got a human brain thinking about what's going to happen after life. But that's in Jesus' hands. And of course, Judgment Day will come as well for those who have not accepted. So please, if you have any questions about the Christian faith, please don't let this opportunity pass, but either come down to the front during the singing of the last hymn, or speak to myself or Peter or one of the leadership team after the service. And I'll end by saying, may God bless each one of you here this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bless you, Richard. Yes. Now we're going to sing, we all can sing together, June's Request, one of Wesley's hymns, O Thou Who Camest From Above.
Thank you.
Now, as people have expected and said about your faith, they automatically become members of the church, and Keith Mitchell is going to explain that to us. Thank you.
Somebody's doing my job for me. Okay. No, it's fine. This is working. One of the benefits of not having a minister, and there's not many of them, is that I get to welcome people into membership, not the minister. So it's my privilege to welcome June, Carl and David into membership of the church. I did consider printing out the constitution to give to you all. It's a bit of light reading, it will send you to sleep, but I will email it to you. And but I have printed out, we've got a little booklet on your baptism, because baptism and membership are two separate things, so you've got these already, because somebody gave them out for me. And I have the privilege of presenting you with your membership certificate and give you the right hand of fellowship. And David. Membership, David. And your certificate. Just going to pray for you quickly, if that's all right. Dear Lord, let us pray for David. Just guide him and protect him and lead him in your ways. Just be with him as he goes along your path. We thank you for the service he's already shown to this church, and we pray that we'll be there forevermore. We just ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you, David. Thank you. Congratulations, all of you. And Matt, Michael. You're on again, Michael.
On again.
I don't think that microphone's working, no. It is working.
Yeah.
It's just you that's not working.
I'm worn out now.
Things I have to do for you.
Yeah, I know. You're wonderful, Keith.
I don't have this trouble on the television, do I?
No, never. No. Well, it's time now for our communion service, to which all of you are invited. It's an open table, so feel free if you want to participate of the elements, and if you don't want to take part, just let them pass by you when you are actually served during the breaking of the bread and also the Holy Communion. Again, you're all invited if you love the Lord. Just the two of you. I think I've got to serve the first three, I think. Well done, Ailey. So, brothers and... No, I'll take this off. Okay. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, It is right that we call to mind the meaning of this supper. It is a remembrance of the sacrifice of Christ for the sin of the world, an encounter with the risen Lord, a feeding on him in faith, a communion with one another in his body, the church, and looking forward to the day when he'll come back again. Therefore, we need to come in faith, conscious of our weakness, seeking to renounce our sin, and humbly putting our trust in Christ and seeking his grace. So we hear the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed unto you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" After supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this for forever and whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done to secure our salvation. And Lord, we pray that we can honour that by giving our lives to yourself. And lead us where you lead us, and be with us in all kinds of separation, all kinds of disease, all kinds of happiness, and all kinds of glory, and all kinds of duty. But Lord, we pray now as we gather around this table, we shall truly accept and accept this meal, this fellowship meal of bread and wine, symbols of your body and your blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we receive the bread, we eat it as we receive it, in remembrance of Christ's body for us. I'm just going to do hand my things for a moment or two. Poets are traditional here to serve the new members first. Not the last will be first, first will be last. Yeah. David, every blessing to you. Carl, the body of Christ broken for you. And June, the body of Christ broken for you. Thank you. You're going to do that one. Sorry, Bob, I don't know how you do it. It's been a long while.
Thank you, Hayley. Bless you. Thank you too, Darren. Body of Christ, broken for you. Hayley, the body of Christ, broken for you. After supper, the cup. The wine, a symbol of the blood of Christ shed for us. We retain the cup and we drink it together as a symbol of our belief and fellowship in Jesus. I think I better just serve these. David, blood of Christ shed for you. Carl, the blood of Christ shed for you. And June, the blood of Christ shed for you. Let's drink together and give thanks. So we're going to end the service by singing a hymn. I can't remember what it is.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't get near to 80, it's not good. Of course it is, thine be the glory. What else could it be? A bit of Handel, yeah. Let's stand and sing then. Thine be the glory. Just before we say the grace to one another, again, the appeal is if anybody would like to talk about faith, anything about it at all, please see me or Peter or somebody else after the service. And after that, of course, we've got a nice lunch laid on by Joy and her friends. I think she's exhausted by doing all those sandwiches. But anyway, let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And God be with you all. Amen.